David writes this psalm here, and just to give you a little foresight on it, he wrote it as a song. The same scripture, almost identical, is over in 2 Samuel chapter 22, if you'd like to read that sometime. And when he wrote it then, it was while he was being pursued by Saul and his armies. Saul wanted to kill David. That was, you know, like an enemy to him. And our enemy today is Satan. Make no mistake about it. He wants to destroy you, destroy your family, kill you. And he brings things upon us daily as Christians that he puts into your life to destroy you, to bring you down.
Right.
David, over there in the book of Samuel, he wrote it down. Well, here in Psalms, he penned it down again as a song. He kind of refined it again and changed the wording a little bit. David being the penman, God the author, and he's writing this to where the church can sing it. My Bible gives a little preview of it here. Yours may do the same. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. And I'm pleased to be a servant of the Lord tonight. You should be also. Who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies. And God can do that for you today. It doesn't matter what your enemy is. It could be some friend that hates you. It can be some worker on your job. But your ultimate enemy is Satan, and God will deliver you from that. David writes here in verse 1. Look at that. We're going to take a few verses, and I got a few points I'll give you on it. It may help you tonight. It helped me. Verse 6 really helped me this week. I don't know. Some of you know the problems my wife has had with medications and arthritis and fibromyalgia and her bipolar disorder. She don't like to talk about those things. She doesn't like me to mention them, but she needs prayer, and we all need prayer. There's not one in here tonight that can say they don't need prayer. But and I just bow myself and humble myself to the Lord as I do so often. And it was verse 6 says, in my distress I called upon the Lord. But I want to touch on that. But look at verse 1. It says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. That's just so much full of deliverance and praise and glorifying God there that David was doing. And he did this after he had been delivered. Think of that now. He's already praising God. And he's going to tell us about the deliverance he had here. But I'm wondering tonight if you can say that he is your Lord. They may be someone sitting here, y'all all faithful church members. But they may be someone sitting here tonight who's lost, who don't know the Lord. And it's my duty as a preacher, as a man of God, to let you know that He is my rock, and he can be your rock tonight. Amen. Can you say that he is your Lord, as David said here? The Lord is my rock. He was all these things to David in one. He was his Lord. Are you his? Are you bought by the price that he paid for us tonight? I pray that you are, church folks. I pray that you're saved, that you know the Lord. Verse 3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised tonight. If we could just realize how worthless we are. I'm standing here tonight before you, and I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. I'm a sinful man. Brother Tim, I'm a sinful man, but I know the Savior. See, that's the difference. There's a lot of sinful people in the world, and they don't know the Savior. He is worthy to be praised. Psalms 107, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Yeah, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed say so. If you've been bought by the blood of Jesus, you've been redeemed. You ought to say so. You ought to tell people about it. I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'll never have to see hell. He is worthy to be praised. He's holy. He's perfect Lamb of God. He's the highest. David calls him the highest. That's just the ultimate person, the ultimate God, the highest. There's none above him, none. Now, a lot of people serve different gods, but he is the highest. Now look at verse 4. And we're going to get to verse 6 where I want to spend some time. He says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Whoa. Verse 5 says, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. Those are some things that we can think about. And I look at those verses, and I see three things there that are important. Number one being the sorrows of death. A lost soul should fear the sorrows of death worse than anything. A man that's lost, when he leaves this earthly body, he'll go to hell. So the sorrows of death should put fear in the hearts of every man, woman, and child that's of age of accountability. That should put a fear in your heart. And they compass us every day. So often we look around at folks and we look at them as just, as the pastor said, is see men as trees walking. They're just people. They're just trees walking. We don't look at them as a lost soul. Death, the sorrows of death, those are sinners without a Savior. If you're without a Savior sitting here tonight, the sorrows of death should really put the fear of God into your heart tonight. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The world is full of them, right? Ungodly men. You can see them on the news every day. Something going on. Just ungodly folks. And they make him afraid. David said here, they made me afraid. There's nothing worse than being around a bunch of sinful folks. Sin breeds sin. If you're saved, you should hang out with Christians. Hang out with saved folks. If you get to hanging out with ungodly people, they'll pull you down to their level. It's very hard for a Christian to hang out with a group of ungodly people and pull them up. You can't do it on your own. Only God can do that. You can witness to them, but if you spend time with them and fellowship with them and stay away from God and away from saved folks, you'll wind up being in that group. You'll get pulled down to that level. He says the sorrows of hell compass me. Sorrows of hell. Hell only means one thing to me, and that's torment. Total separation from God. You can read all through the New Testament, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four of the Gospels talk about the torment of hell. It's not a place where they go party with all their friends, as some said. I used to say that. I'm guilty. But it's a place of torment. I was a lost man when I said that. But, once I got saved, I realized hell is a place of torment. It says that the worm dieth not, the fire is never quenched. You'll be tormented day and night, continually. So the sorrows of hell compass me, and the snares of death. The one that sets your snares and your tricks and your traps is Satan. You think about that. He so many times tries to trick us up, to separate us from God. If he can get you to doubt in God at all, to doubt in your Lord Jesus as your Savior, then you'll start distancing yourself from God. You'll draw away from God. And as soon as you separate yourself from God, then it'll be a distraction to you. And that's what David is getting to here. He said, these things, if you hang on to these things and keep them in your mind and your heart all the time, you'll be, verse 6, in distress. In distress. Anybody want to take a stab at what distress is? I didn't really know. I knew it was trouble, because I get in that a lot. Is there anybody in here that don't have troubles?
No.
Amen. Whether it be sickness, financial troubles, family troubles, employment troubles, health issues, it's troubles, it's distress. Distress is anything that has to do with pain, sorrow, worry. Right. Anything that makes you suffer is distress. Anything. Right. Now, who would you think that would make you want to suffer more than anyone? Your enemy. He don't want you to be full of joy. He don't want you to put on a smiley face. I know a lot of us, I'm guilty of it myself, will come into the house of God and look happy and try to be of a good spirit, but inside we're just brokenhearted. We got some things burdening us down that we can't handle, and we know we can't handle it. And we just dragging ourselves along trying to look good, to make a good appearance. We don't want the pastor worried about us. We don't want the other church members worried about us. But inside, there's something just eating us up, man. And you get to that point in your life, there's only one that can help you. Distress. Webster's Dictionary says it's a state of danger or trouble. You're in danger. You get to that point where you're in distress, you're in trouble. You're in danger. It's easy to get in trouble. Job, what did Job say? A man born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. Right. You're going to have it. If you're a Christian, get ready for some more of it. Right. It's just the way it is. The more you serve God, the closer you draw to Him, the harder Satan is going to try and pull you away from Him. Right. He don't want you to be happy. He can't steal your salvation. If you're saved, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah, right.
He can't get that from you, so all he can do is try to rob you of your joy. That's all he can do. He can't touch you. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. So he's going to do anything and everything he can to get you away from God.
Yeah, right.
Trouble. I hate trouble. distress. It's just the way it is in this world today. I want to read you some more that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians about trouble. But look what David said in verse 6. He said, in my distress. In other words, when this happened, David was, Saul had surrounded him. The story, I believe, over in the book of Samuel talks about he was in a valley and there was mountains on each side, and Saul was marching his army up this side and on the other side of the other mountains. That's right, Brother Steve.
Right.
He was surrounded by the enemy. He didn't know what to do. He was troubled on every side, right? If you ain't in trouble right now, you've probably just come out of some. And while you're right now and joyful and happy and in that little easy spot, get ready because you're probably fixing to go into some more, right? Paul said, I looked on the left, looked on the right, trouble all around me. In my distress. This is a personal call. I want y'all to take note of this. It's between you and God.
Right.
It don't matter if I come in here and tell the pastor every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. I mean, it's a good thing to get counsel from your pastor. Don't take that the wrong way. But the pastor don't need all your troubles. He can't help you with all your troubles. He can give you godly counsel and spiritual advice, and he will. He's very good at it. I've had it myself. He'll use the Word of God like he should. You need to, in your distress, what does he say? I called upon the Lord. That's where you need to go. Too many people run to the finance company. I've done it. Get in trouble. Need some money. Can't pay this. Go over here and borrow a little more to pay that. Next thing I know, I can't pay neither one of them. I have to sell something. I've lost about all my weapons because of that. You know, we get in those situations because of our flesh. It's our flesh. But in my distress, I called upon the Lord. Now, he didn't just call upon him. David, he had a personal relationship with God. And that's what you need to have tonight. You need to, at any time, have such a personal, one-on-one relationship with God. He said, and cried unto my God. He didn't just about get down on his knees and say, Lord, thank you for this day. I need to ask you a few things or talk. He cried unto the Lord. I believe with all my heart, David was, he didn't know what to do, which way to turn. He said, I cried unto my God, unto his God. And see, you can cry to a lot of people. There ain't nothing wrong with good counsel from brothers and sisters, family. But ultimately, you need to take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. He's the one that can help you. He heard, look what he said, he heard my voice. He will hear you when you call upon him. You approach God in the right way, he will hear your prayer. You can't approach him all puffed up, full of pride. The Lord, he won't put up with that. It says that he resisteth the proud. Right, Brother Steve? He resisteth the proud, and he showeth mercy unto the humble. When you humble yourself to God, that's when he hears your prayer. That's when he hears your cry. He said he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. That's pretty personal. Your cry to his ears. It ain't got to go through the pastor. It ain't got to go through Mother Mary. It ain't got to go through the priest in the closet. It needs to come from you to him. You've got an intercessor. The scripture says, I believe there's one mediator between God and man, right? It's the man Christ Jesus. So your prayer is going to go straight to him. So it's a personal, one-on-one salvation. It's a personal, one-on-one relationship. If you got trouble tonight, I mean, so much things going on in the world today, you're going to have distress. Distress is a word for trouble. Distraught. Being confused about things. I'm honest with you. Sometimes I don't know what to do. I get so overwhelmed by things that goes on in my family, at my job. I don't know what to do. I cry unto the Lord. I can't tell you the times that I lay in my floor in my bedroom and cry unto my God. I know he hears me. Sometimes it ain't always what I want to hear back. But I know he hears me. He know the scripture says he's got all my tears in a bottle. Every one of them. He knows my heart. A distress. A distraction. That's a confused state of mind. I was laughing at my wife. Y'all don't tell her. She knows my heart, though. I got home from work today, and she'd been having medication troubles. They'd upped some of her medicine again, and we got her pill box. She takes them day and night, and we put them in there. She had knocked it over in the bathroom floor, and pills went everywhere. And thank God for medication. It helps us. She was confused, and I had to take them all and put them all back in the bottles and line them back up. But she was in a confused state of mind. It was medication. But Satan, the one who wants to ultimately confuse you and distract you away from God, will use anything he can to draw you away. If he can get your attention on something else and off of God, he's doing his job. And he's good at his job. And believe you me, he's been doing it for a long, long time, and he's good at it. That's his job, to distract you, to make you unable to think clearly. That's not what God wants. I believe the book of Corinthians says that God is not the author of confusion. Right? You should be of a sound mind. Sound mind. You got to keep your mind where it needs to be. A sound mind. He says that he heard my... That's a personal cry. Now, how do we get through this? Look what happened when he cried unto the Lord. Verse 7. It says, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. Then went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed down the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. And the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed hailstones, and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. That's pretty powerful words, ain't it? That's his second point. See, he's a personal Savior, Brother Hicks. He's your personal answer for anything.
Yes,
he is. He's your personal God. He's your God. He's my God, yeah, too, but he knows you better than anybody else. Really? He knows me better than anybody else. Now, he's powerful enough to take care of me. David said he bowed down the heavens and came down. And I like that part there. It says, and darkness was under his feet. Darkness is always associated with Satan. I don't care what anybody says. You can look at it in the Word of God, and you can look at it in the world today. People who love darkness don't love God. Right? They won't come to the light, right? Men love darkness because their deeds were evil. Exactly. That's the Word of God. You see these children, I got nothing against children, but when they dress in all black and paint their face and eyes black, they're attracted to darkness. They want to stay on that dark side. They just don't know the Lord. We need to be a light for them to see that darkness, look where it was. It was under his feet. Sin is always beneath our Lord. He's always above it. He has nothing to do with it. His son died for our sin. His son died. He hates sin. We're all sinners, grant you that, but he hates sin. He don't hate the sinner. He hates the sin. We gotta work on that as Christians. I mean, I'm guilty of it as anybody is. I see these homosexuals on TV. That bothers me. You know, they got it in the military now. And it's okay for them to get married and all this stuff going on in the country. They need to get in their Bibles, read the Word of God. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. And when you see that stuff, you have a pretense and your flesh flares up and you hate them people. That's wrong too. You hate the sin. You love the sinner. Christ Jesus died for the sin already. He paid the penalty for sin. They just don't know. We got to work on that as Christians, all of us, even this preacher, got to work on that. Hate the sin, love the sinner. It's forgiveness. It's over in the book of Matthew, or me. That's what the Scripture says, right? He bowed down, darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. That's that Holy Spirit that we have around us now that we don't know which way it goes. You never know when the Holy Ghost is going to show up and help you, help you, help you. He made darkness his secret place. We're going to look from verse 11 over to 19 because I wanted to show you something. The Lord showed me this today. He made darkness his secret place. And look at verse 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. You've got to get into that secret place before you can get into that large place.
Right.
A lot of people's wanting to get to heaven, and they're going about it the wrong way. I preached on that. Taught Sunday school in a large place one time, Justin. You remember? We ain't got there yet. Heaven is going to be a large place. You're going to have room to move around because you ain't going to have the worries of troubles over here. You can go this way. There's not going to be no distress over there. There's not going to be no sorrow over here. There's not going to be no pain over here. Got much room to move around. Not that you're going to need no room. You're going to be just joyful all the time. But you've got to get to that secret place. That secret place is in His Son, Christ Jesus. The secret place. His pavilion round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. And the brightness that was before Him, His thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings to discomfort them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world discovered, at thy rebuke, O Lord, at thy blast of the breath of thy nostrils. That's pretty powerful stuff. I believe we serve a powerful God. I mean, if you ought to, Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord." If you have nothing else to trust in Him for, trust in Him that He's a creator of all things.
Right.
He took the earth that was void, without form, full of darkness, and made it a beautiful place, a Garden of Eden. Now, we all mess that up. You know that, how the shape the world's in now. But just at His word, out of the breath of His nostrils, says David said He's so powerful He did that. He made the waters separate so much that I could see the channels under the waters. Y'all know, Brother Chris knows something about fishing. When the lake gets down, you can see them channels in there where the old river. David said He's that powerful. He just makes the floods of the ungodly men, all the troubles disappear that I could see the channels.
Right.
And what I think, that gives you a good mental picture of what's going on here. David said, "O Lord, at the blast of the breath of Thy nostrils, He sent from above, He took me." I'm so glad He took me one day. Oh, I was on my way to hell. He took me. First, before He took me, He drew me out of many waters. I was in so much trouble. God's word is personal. What we saw here in His distress is powerful. Right here we're going to see it's proficient. It gets the job done. Verse 17 says, "He delivered me from my strong enemy." There's one thing you can count on is God's word. Psalms 119 says it's forever settled in heaven.
Yeah, really.
We can't change it. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. It's done deal. He delivered me. David said, out of all the things that was going on in my life, He delivered me from my strong enemy, from them which hated me. There's a lot of thems and theys right here. And you got to remember, the thems and the theys are the people in the world. You can read your Bible from front to back, and even when our Lord talks about them in the Gospels, He says, them that were over there. You need to separate yourself from them. They are the ones that persecuted me. Pay attention to those words. He said, "He delivered me from them which hated me." You got people on your job that hate you because you're a Christian. They hate you because you go to church, because they can see Christ in you. They don't like to be around you. They don't like the way you act, the way you talk. But He will deliver you from them, for they were too strong for me. You can't defeat them on your own. You try to face the world one-on-one by yourself, you will fail. Every morning. Me and Brother Jimmy was talking about right before church started, we have our prayer time and ask God to help us, because we can face the world on our own.
That's right.
I know I can't do it. I will fail. Even with my prayer time that I spend with God every day, sometimes I have to take a little break midway through the day and have a little more time with Him. I have to cry out to Him, "Lord, the day ain't going like it should. Help." David wouldn't shout it. David was a praying man. David knew where his help had to come from. If he was going to make it, he had to pray. He was a praising man. David was in Christ Jesus. Remember that secret place we just talked about a while ago here? He made darkness His secret place.
Whoa.
Some of the darkest times in your life, Justin, is where He's at.
All right.
Remember the pastor telling us a couple Sundays back that somewhere in the shadows, you'll always find Jesus. That's where He's at. When you get in them dark times, them times when trouble's all around you, you're stressed out over life in general, He's right there. He's right there with you. You just need to cry out to Him, as He said, "Oh, Lord, help me. I'm in trouble." And He'll be there. He said, "They prevented me." There's that word "they" again, verse 18. "They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay." They prevented him. That means they tried to keep him from doing what he wanted to do. They came upon him. They had surrounded him. But the Lord was my stay.
Amen.
The Lord, verse 19 said, He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me. Why did he deliver David? David was a sinful man, just like us. It says, but because he delighted in me. Because he delighted. Why? Because David worshiped the Lord. There's not one in here tonight that can say that they have a perfect relationship with God.
Yeah, really.
There's not one in here tonight that cannot say they're without sin. Scripture said if we do, we make God a liar, right? I ain't calling God no liar tonight. But what we've got to look at is why? Because we call upon him. We call upon him. He said he delighted in me because the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, verse 20, according to the cleanliness of my hands, he encompassed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from God. He got some blessings out of just serving God. God knew he was going to mess up, make some mistakes, but he did not wickedly depart from God.
Amen.
When somebody gets mad and gets in sin and they don't want to get things right with God and they throw in the towel, put their Bible in the closet and forget about the Lord, that's wickedly departing from God.
Whoa.
You don't want to have nothing. You've distanced yourself from God.
Really?
You've separated yourself from the Lord. And by doing that, God will he will cast judgment on you. I believe it with all my heart. As long as you're doing your best. David said here, he rewarded me according to my righteousness. Not because David was a righteous man, but it was according to the cleanness of his hands. Not because he had clean hands. Lord told David, you can't build the temple. You got blood on your hands. But he loved the Lord. He knew that he was a sinful man. He had to cry unto God for his help, for his deliverance. He said in verse 1, he says, in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength. He's the one who's going to deliver me. In whom I will trust. He is my buckler. A buckler is if some of you don't know, it's a little shield they wear on their arm, on their wrist, right, Brother Steve? It's to fight off them fiery darts of Satan. They would wear it there for protection, but also they would polish them things up to give off a little ray of light, a little bit of ray of light. Think about that. The Lord, he rewarded him because he kept the ways of the Lord and hath not wickedly departed from God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes, the Word of God, in other words. He knew what the Word of God was. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Man, that's a hard thing to do these days, right? Keeping yours. I tell you how you keep yourself from sin. It's hard. If you stay close to God, you'll stay away from sin. Right? Hey, take your Bible, for instance. Either the Word of God is keeping you from sin, or sin is keeping you from the Word of God. That's pretty simple, right? If you ain't wanting to pick the Bible up and read it, it's because you've got sin in your heart and it's going to convict you. Right? David said, the light of thy countenance shines on and he's talking about the Word of God, how when you read the Word of God, it shines on your sin, and you can see it. So what David's saying is that sin, stay close to God. Look at verse 25, and we're going to get ready to close here. These are 25 and 26, and I give you a lot of stuff tonight. I hope I didn't give you too much that mess you up. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. And with an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure.
Really?
And with the forward, thou wilt show thyself forward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people,
right,
but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Talking about your sin, in other words, and the things that's going on in your life. It don't have to be sin. Trouble don't have to be sin. A lot of people will look at a Christian who's having troubles and say, well, they got sin in their life.
Right.
No, not so. God may be just trying to make you better by things that he puts in your life to see how you react to it. And it's a hard thing to accept for us as Christians that if you're in Christ Jesus, God's got you exactly where he wants you to be. You may not be pleased with the job you have or pleased with the place you live, the car you drive, but you're exactly where God wants you to be right now. He's in control of everything, right? So if we can grasp around that, then we know that the Lord, he said, he will enlighten my darkness. Verse 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. Perfect. I mean, you can't improve on perfect. He's perfect, Brother Allen. I mean, to be any better, he'd have to be God, right?
Yeah.
He is, amen? He is, the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. We looked at that word buckler because it's a shield. If you trust in the Lord, he is your shield. I believe Psalms 27 says, he is my shield, my light, my salvation, right?
Amen.
In whom shall I be afraid?
So
what can separate you from the love of God? Paul said we're troubled on every side. 2 Corinthians 4:8 said, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, not destroyed.
Right.
Who shall separate us? Romans 8:35, from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress? There's that word again. What do we do when we have distress? Call upon the Lord. Cry unto God. Shall that, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, and I hope that you're persuaded tonight, fully persuaded, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. That about covers everything, don't it?
Right.
Amen. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, David, we read the book of Psalms and the book of Samuel, and we know all about David and the things that he said and did that are a great testimony that we can learn from. And then we wonder sometimes, well, how can we, in our flesh, in this earthly flesh, how can we call upon the Lord to get us out of our distress? And you look for an example of someone who did that. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 5, you can read it when you get home. It's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ being the great high priest for us. He is that great intercessor we have. We have earthly priests now that are call themselves fathers and dress like mothers and hide in the closet. It says, verse 7, chapter 5, verse 7 of Hebrews says, who in the days of his flesh, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. That's a great example right there. Don't you think so? And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you for your help tonight, Lord, the understanding of the word of God you give us through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I pray for the folks here at the Open Door Baptist Church. Lord, we have much sickness, many surgeries, Lord, but we know we can cry unto you, our personal Savior, and you will deliver, Lord, from these things that burden us, Lord God. You told us to cast our care upon you because you care for us, Lord. I thank you for each time you touch us, each time you help us. I pray we have a good turnout, Lord God, this Sunday morning. Help our folks to invite, Lord God, put upon their heart the ones that in their families, Lord, that need to hear the Word of God, that they can ask to come, Lord, and help us worship Sunday morning. I pray for my pastor, Lord God, that you would fill him, Lord, with words of wisdom and knowledge to be our leadership, Lord, here at this church, our shepherd, Lord God, to tend this flock. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you gave me tonight, Lord, to help minister into the needs here, Lord. And I pray, God, that they have an understanding of even though we are distressed, Lord, there's one who can deliver. Lord, I pray for Brother Wendell as he's recovering, Miss Sarah and her recovery. Amen. Lord, all those will. The others, Lord, that have had surgeries and hospital visits, doctor visits, Lord God, I pray that you would help each individual in their need. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.